Hello and welcome to Strungecast episode 69.
How do you know when to stop?
Good question. We'll have to discuss that. But before we discuss that, Happy New Year. And how's your week been?
Yeah, Happy New Year. Although technically, last episode was out in New Year, but this is our first recording of the new year.
Exactly.
But yeah,
it's already, we're 8 days into the year.
I know, that's
weird.
Crazy.
I don't know how that happened.
It's been all right. The kids are back at school now, so we're just back into the routine of all of that.
It's very quiet as a result.
Thrilled to be back, as you can imagine.
Yeah.
Especially as it's been so cold this week.
Icy.
Icy. We had -6, which for London is pretty rare.
Yeah.
We might get like -1, -2, possibly 3, but -6 is like a bit of a stretch for us. So it's been quite cold. Yesterday was super icy. Today it's just wet and damp and miserable outside.
Typical London, especially this time of year.
Yeah. So my week's just kind of been us getting back to normal routine.
The daily grind.
Yeah, keeping an eye on the cat, Luna, because she's not well at the moment. So keeping an eye on her and what she's doing and where she is.
Indeed.
So she's
using your hot water bottle.
Lots of hot water bottles. Yeah, lots of blankets. It is chilly. But yeah, your week?
Nothing.
Nothing.
Read a
You've
lot.
You've been playing a lot in the evenings.
Yeah, that's true. I think people just being at home more means that we've played a lot.
Yeah, no one has any money or wants to go out in January.
No. I don't have anything, so yeah.
No.
Playing is passing the time. And watching Alice continue to play Donkey Kong has been great fun.
Yeah, she really gets into it, doesn't she?
Yeah, but I have actually had occasion to play my own Switch a bit, which is nice.
Yes.
We take turns.
As you should.
As you should. Yeah, truly not a lot. So I'm thinking, I can't remember if anyone answered last week, but someone did leave a comment on last week, and it was Tara.
I haven't seen that.
Oh, you
put
it up.
What did she say?
Briefly. She was saying, if memory serves, that they take their stuff down quite soon after because it's one of their kids' birthdays, and I cannot remember exactly which it was.
The differentiation between Christmas and birthday.
Yes.
Yeah. Because that's really hard, I think, if you've got a birthday if you've got a birthday around Christmas, I think that must be really hard because you're like, you just get lumped in with Christmas, don't you? Oh, here's a present for birthday and Christmas.
Well, that's true of one of our listeners, isn't it? Who we actually did a Strunge card for, Bradley, whose birthday is Christmas Eve, which sounds quite traumatic.
Yeah, my aunt's birthday, can't remember if it's Christmas Eve or Boxing, I think it's Christmas Eve as well.
Yeah. I think you said to me it was.
Yeah.
It's a good question, actually. If you have a birthday around a particular holiday, do you find that your birthday gets overshadowed by said holiday, or is your family really good at making sure that you actually have a good time?
So I can't see. Maybe I'm looking at the wrong episode. I don't think I am.
Maybe.
Oh yeah, I am. That might be why.
I think you might be.
I don't know why, because I clicked on the right one and
this happens. It's okay.
Oh dear, honestly.
She's got it.
Yeah, I do have it. Yes, Tara said they put their stuff away on New Year's Day. Because it's Jared's birthday on the 8th of January, so they like to have that, you know,
that makes a
that
lot
separation.
Of sense. Our stuff is all down now.
Yeah, it took us took me a few days, but I think I did it on the 2nd.
You did
most of it, and then it was just the cushions and bits and pieces. But most of it was done by the 2nd, so that was all good.
It's quite nice actually to get back to sort of normality in a way.
Yeah, we only have a small house, so although we don't have a massive tree, you know, it does take up space. So it is quite nice when everything goes away and there's just, the room just looks more spacious and like, I do like that.
Definitely.
But yeah, there is always that kind of, oh, January, it's all done, it's all over. So we have to think of fun things to look forward to instead.
Well, Jakob said he listened to last episode and he was talking about aims as well. And
yep.
He'd said that it'd be really cool if he could find a way to come over post-October kind of time for a couple of days, which I'd love to see him. I haven't seen him in several years and he's a great friend of mine. So that'd be really nice to see him if I can do that.
Yeah, definitely.
I'll definitely do that. We always have a lot of fun.
Yeah, you do.
And I feel like the last time he came over was the time we went out to one of the most expensive Chinese restaurants in London and ate a lot of duck.
Mm. Yeah, I do remember you saying that was a pricey meal.
Yeah, but it was worth every mouthful. Dwayne took us there. He drove us, Jakob and I, down there. This time,
crazy.
Jake could be. I'd be outgunned by J&J. Oh, no.
He wouldn't be driving you by the end of this year.
No, but it'd be Jakob and Jake.
Oh, I see. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Nothing to do with driving.
Jakob and Jacob. That's so funny, isn't it?
I know, it is. One letter difference.
Yeah, just a slightly different pronunciation.
But Jake is actually really good at guiding two blind people. He's done it before with really me and good. Gilliam. And so if we wanted to go somewhere, as long as Jake's getting a free meal, Jake will nearly always say yes.
Yes.
So
that is definitely true.
I have no fears about this, you see.
Yeah.
Oh, what fun. I'm already looking forward to it now.
Of course you are.
Of course I am. So go on then. Quiz me.
Well, yeah.
I certainly didn't know the answer, I think.
So last week's question was, in what year were fireworks first used for the New Year's Eve?
I'll just guess a random date of like, I don't know, 1732.
No. 1904.
1904, right.
So quite a bit later, but you know. This one you might, I'm hoping, know more. I'm definitely hoping that Jake would know. The speed of a computer mouse is measured in what units?
Right. Good one.
So there you go.
Ask him after school.
I will.
He'll tell you. Right to your hoe.
Yeah.
So come on then. How do you know when to stop? What's the what's
children.
The answer here?
We're talking about babies. How do you know when to stop having babies? As in, when you're done, you're done.
Mm.
So we obviously had two.
We did.
Stopped at two. But how did we know that we were done? How did we make that decision that that was it for us?
Did we have a conversation about it, or was it just like a natural stopping point, like an end of a chapter or the end of a song?
I don't think we ever had a proper conversation. I think it was kind of
well, it's circumstance really, because we only had a small place to
live. Only had a small place. Yeah, so I think we didn't need to have that discussion of should we maybe have another one or think about it. We also had one of each, which was kind of just made us feel like that was it. We didn't need to keep going or try again.
Exactly.
It
would imbalance the flow.
Yeah, so I don't think we ever had that conversation, but I think we just verbally put out there, we're so even and balanced and sort of content with how our family looks.
Yes,
like
family dynamic.
I remember us saying, like, our family feels complete after Alice was born.
Definitely.
She'd
be glad to hear that.
Yeah. And I don't think I would have felt like that if we'd had two of the same.
Yeah.
So I think it would have been harder to have made that choice. Obviously,
you can never know because...
Yeah, you can never know. But I think, you know, we weren't in a financial
position
to have even contemplated the idea of having another one. And space-wise, you know, it just would have been so hard. And just the idea of having to do it all over again.
No.
Now feels horrendous. Back then, I think, like, as Alice sort of hit being a toddler, I did think, I think that's quite natural for a lot of women to have those
broody thoughts.
Yeah, it is. It is broody. And you look at all the other babies and, you know, that's why women continue having babies, because you forget a lot of the difficult side. You forget the childbirth. You forget the sleepless nights. You forget all of that hard stuff in order to have more. So they're definitely, and also hormones. Pace.
Such a sadist.
A big thing. I know, right? Whereas you guys don't really have that. You don't have the hormones that takes over and says, oh, we're just going to block that part out. I don't think men necessarily get broody. And if they do, it's in a different way.
Yeah.
I know you were absolutely no more.
Yeah.
Right from once we had Alice, like, there wouldn't have been any more.
Yeah. And I remember my family going, you're going to have any more? I'm like, no.
But why don't you explain then a bit about why you felt so strongly?
It was the completeness. It was the not coping very well with all the screaming and crying. I'm not good with that stuff. I'm just not good with it. Some people just take to it and can deal with it. But it does me head in. And they can't help it. They're babies. Like, I know that deep down. But that does not make my brain any happier with the noise.
Yeah, you do struggle with the baby and toddler age. Once they hit about sort of, what, three, four,
three,
five.
3, 4 is fine. Great. No problem.
Yeah. But those first few years, you do really struggle. So that definitely would have played a big factor. And also, we had two babies that did not sleep.
That didn't help my disposition.
Yeah. So that definitely would have played a huge factor.
But they grew up to be such lovely people.
That's it. And that's why people keep having them. Keep having more and more babies.
I love them. And they're both my favorites, right?
Yeah.
And I would do anything for them. But I would not give them another brother or sister. That's, I'd draw the line.
Certainly not at this point
not
in our lives. You're over 40. I'm very much approaching 40. And I just don't think... I've always been like one of the younger mums.
Yeah.
I don't think I would like it being one of the older mums.
It must be quite a different experience.
Yeah. Well, for your mum, it would have been hugely, because...
I would have loved... You know what? I would have had her on this podcast.
Definitely.
To explain that.
Yeah.
Because she would have been the ultimate candidate. She had me at 15.
Yeah.
And then
your sisters, I think she was in her late 30s.
Exactly.
And then... She's like 40, 41, early 40s, I think, when she had...
Possibly.
I think she was in her 40s.
But I would have called her up or had her come in for an episode and talk to us about...
The differences in parenting, yeah. Because physically, you're in such a different place. Like, I feel like when we had ours, we were younger, we had the energy.
We were both in our 20s with both of them.
Yeah. Like, I was 23 when I had Jake. Like,
that's nothing.
It really is nothing. And I was only 23, like, by a month. So
yeah,
all of my pregnancy was 22. So I was really young, you know, fit and healthy and all of that stuff. So I had all the energy to do everything.
She's still proper fit, by the way.
That's very cheeky.
What about
I've lost
you then?
My train
how
of thought
did you
now.
Feel? Yeah, I know. But how did you feel? I mean, if you can remember, right? There's only three years difference, but 3 years is a long time in terms of how you personally feel about life, the universe, and babies. You know?
I don't think I felt necessarily different. The pregnancy is different because it always is, because you've then got a child. It's very different, your first pregnancy, because it's super easy in the sense of, I need to relax, so I'm going to relax. I don't have anybody else, as in a child, needing my attention. It was very different. And Jake wasn't yet in nursery when I was pregnant with Alice. So he was, you know, I needed to be with him and look after him constantly, like every day. You know, there wasn't really any downtime. So that was harder. But then I don't think it was like... energy-wise and body-wise and all of that, I don't really think it was that different, to be honest.
Yeah.
It's different because now you've got two instead of one. So it's just a different transition that, you know, you're splitting yourself and that's so much harder. And I think that that plays a big part in why I didn't really, like, on the surface I would say, oh, I'm so broody, like I see another baby and they're so cute, or you know, you see little baby outfits and you think, oh my gosh,
yeah,
that's adorable, it's so tiny. But then reality, when you really think about it, the idea of having more children to split myself between just felt, well,
that's it, isn't it,
impossible,
because then there's going to be a ratio problem.
Yeah. And I think because you did struggle with the baby toddler phase, you weren't able to do a lot with them. You weren't able to take them out, you know, or really look after them for long periods of time. So that's quite demanding.
Yeah. And then where we lived in the big tower block, to get anywhere from that point, yeah, you would have immediately required a bus or a cab just to go anywhere, any distance, because we basically, you'd exit on the main road.
Yeah.
It's different around here. You can walk and it's fine.
Yeah.
But we weren't here at that point.
No, that's true.
That place was so barren.
Even though it's like meters away from where we are, it's really not that far. It's just because of the positioning of it is, or was, surrounded by busy main roads.
Yeah.
But yeah, it wouldn't have been possible for you to have taken them out, or you know,
oh, so not then easily, you're anyway.
No, definitely not easily. So then you are kind of reliant on family help. And yeah, I just, you know, always felt like I've got two hands, one to hold each of them. That's it.
Yeah.
You know, and we were lucky enough to have them the way that we wanted. I'd always dreamt of having a boy first and then a girl, and that's what we had. And I still count myself so lucky that that's how it worked out.
Yeah.
And then I do remember thinking, like, as they got older, and thinking, like, obviously they have their moments. Kids are hard, right? But they were pretty good. We didn't have really anything awful, you know, moments and tricky times and all of that stuff. But they were ultimately good children,
and they were basically forgettable, those moments.
Yeah, exactly. I thought you were talking about the kids then. Yeah, they're,
I
just
know,
forgettable.
I just had to clarify.
Yeah, reasons. I just remember thinking, what if we had a third one and the third one was an absolute terror?
Yep.
Like,
just to make up for it,
we've just, yeah, completely turned our lives upside down. And obviously you love your child, you know, you wouldn't regret them, but it would be but it would just be so crazy when we've just got this really amazing, generally quite peaceful life.
Yeah.
To then throw in another whirlwind.
Well, this is it. And especially their ages they're at now, they don't need much intervention, you know?
No, they, that's it. Teenagers are, they do come with their issues, but they are pretty
self-reliant, self-sufficient.
Self-reliant, yeah.
And actually, you know what? Let's go back to the really early episodes, because Alice at that point had only just started at the school she's at now. Is that right? 24?
Yeah, I guess so, yeah. She would have been in...
Yeah, yeah.
What month did we start?
September.
Yeah, so she would have been in year 7.
Yeah.
Which is the first year of secondary. She's now, you know, well into the second year, year 8.
Yeah, so the point I was kind of going to make is that, for example, if you and I wanted to go out for lunch, because in the early episodes I'd said we could never really do that because you'd have to be back for school run and this and that.
Yeah.
A year into it, I could say safely that we could do that.
Yeah.
And we,
yeah,
have a lot less worries and concerns than we did back in 2024. Definitely. And the thing is, when we started it in 24, as I just said, she had started that going to school by herself. But we would have wanted to be here and home for her if there were any problems.
Yeah.
Now, if we phoned them and said, hey guys, we're in Westfield, do your thing, they would be absolutely fine. And when we went to the benefits office once, came back late, or to the theatre actually, they were absolutely fine. They'd come home alone, no problems. So it's nice to feel like you don't have to go through all of that again and be back to finding babysitters, nursery picker-uppers, all of that kind of business. Or, worse for the children, foisting their baby brother or sister on them while you're out having fun.
I would never do that. I've never been that parent that said to the older one, you look after your sibling, ever. I mean, I might say to Jake, when you're out and about, look out for her. You know, when he's at school. Yeah, it's completely different. It's not me saying you are currently responsible for her. It's just if you see something or if she's having an issue at school and she sends you a message, like,
go to her
and be there. That's it. It's completely different.
When I was away in Belgium last year, or was it earlier this year, whichever. No, it was last year now. What am I talking about?
Yeah.
And there was that incident at school and you sent Jake to find her. And it's like,
Oh, there's been an incident with other kids. Something had happened and they were sort of independently messaging me.
Yes.
And I wanted to make sure that she was okay. And I said, go find her. And he did. He like loomed up behind her, this massive, you know.
He was tall even then.
Boy, yeah. And everyone was like, oh, is that your brother? And she was like, oh God, yeah. But that's very different. And like when we went on holiday, they would go off together. But that was...
They went to get your present together.
They went to get my present together. Yeah, it really was. But that's their choice to make. We have never said to Jake, you go and play with your sister, go and look after your sister, go and do that. I've never ever, and I would never do that.
I never liked even hearing it from other parents.
No.
I mean, I didn't have that because I was an only child for a long period of time.
Yeah, so see, I was made to play with my sister and there was 7 years age gap and that's why. And I don't blame my parents for that. It's difficult. They were, you know...
They were working parents.
Older parents. Not older, but they were, you know, like probably similar age to what we are now. They were working really hard. Like it was a lot.
Yeah.
So to say, oh, just go play with your sister for a bit or whatever. Like I get that. I'm not at all blaming them. But it was just something that I felt very strongly that I didn't want to do.
Yeah.
And
you never have.
We've never said,
oh, just go play.
Yeah. You know, you might say, oh, why don't you play a game together or suggest it? But I would never force that.
Nope.
So I guess if we take it back to the title...
But you know what? All of that ties in. It does. You might think it's sort of tangential.
No, I was just going to kind of like round up a bit, I guess, and say,
yeah,
ultimately, we knew we were done because we felt like we were complete.
Done.
Yeah.
There were quite a few factors, weren't there? There was the house itself. Just we only had a set amount of room.
But say, for instance, we had money wasn't an issue. We had a house with multiple bedrooms, like that would have been fine. Do you think you would have been open to the idea of having another one?
I think maybe, but I also think maybe not, because of the balance we have.
Mm.
Then you'd have to have another other one.
Oh gosh.
And then hope
and suddenly you're doubling your lot, like
yeah, which is just at that point, oh my gosh, yeah, what are you doing?
No,
having a baby menagerie, like no,
that's it.
I mean, what's a group of babies? A murder of babies?
Wow, that's harsh.
It would be a gaggle of babies.
A gaggle. A giggle? Giggle of babies?
Maybe. A tantrum of babies.
Tantrum of babies. Yeah, quite possibly. Sleepless night, that's for sure.
Well, yeah.
Maybe we would have felt differently if we'd had good sleepers.
Yes.
Just any sleep.
Any sleep at all.
Yeah.
I know... Our one very good friend will listen to this. I want to hear about his babies.
Mm. Yeah, because he's got two of the same. So it would be interesting to know how...
Because how do they sleep? How do they cope with it? And how does one love the other yet? Not love, but you know that he's too young to really get that. But
Oh, you mean one baby love the other baby?
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if you... Because that takes time, I think.
It takes
and he's
time.
Still very little.
I'm also going to have my brother listen to this because at the moment they only have one child. I don't know if they have thought of another or if can afford another. Like, you know, again, it's all about space and money. It's a lot of things are about money and space, aren't they?
Yeah.
You bring them down to the wire.
Yeah, absolutely. But I think if you'd asked me the question of if we had the space and the money, say 10 years ago,
yeah.
I would definitely have said I want another one.
I could see that.
Yeah. Because I think because I am such a family person, you know, that's what I see myself doing. It's our family. So to grow our family just would have felt like the best thing ever. But now, and certainly I would say for the last like 5 years, I've definitely been like, no, absolutely. I'm really glad that we made that choice and didn't have any more.
It goes back to your own episode, doesn't it? When you're, you know, discussing tiredness and all that.
Yeah, so. That's it. I mean, in the last couple of years, I don't think I physically would have been able to deal with pregnancy, a newborn, a baby, a toddler, like all of that.
You'd have been passing out left, right and center.
Oh my gosh, it just would have been awful. Absolutely awful. And then I would have had to have relied more on other people. And I hate that at the best of times, let alone if it's involving my child.
Yeah.
So yeah, I'm really glad that we didn't do that. But also just, you know, we have such a great time. Like the kids are at a great age. They have been for years now, but you know, when we go out, when we go on holidays, all those things, you throw a younger child in and it just completely changes the dynamic. And that's not to say that, oh, but then they grow up and then, you know, but 4 just works for us.
Yeah.
You know?
That's 4 people, by the way, not 4 children. Yeah. There aren't two that we didn't tell you about.
4 people. And that's kind of why we got the dog, was we're not having any more kids. I need something that's going to be here as the kids get older and don't need me as much. I need something to nurture when I am not nurturing them. And therefore we got Penny. And she is absolutely the best sort of, what's the word? Not cover up for those feelings, but like, I can't think of the word.
I can't either. I was going to say surrogate, but it's not that.
Or it's not surrogate, but it is kind of, you know, she fills those.
She fills a hole.
She fills the hole. Yeah. She takes up that space for me.
So when do you call it quits? If even you have children, some people don't want and do not like the idea of children. And I would love to hear from you as well, because you will have an entirely different response to this question. And it will probably be one word. Never. Right. And that's absolutely fine.
Yeah. I actually think it's really brave of people to say, I don't want to have children ever, because you can get a lot of criticism about it.
Yeah.
You know, people saying, oh, what are you going to do when you're older? Or what if you change your mind and then it's too late? Like all of that stuff. But if you know deep down, you do not want to have children.
Then don't be forced to have
them. Don't do it. It's such a huge commitment. And also don't bring a child into something that you aren't sure about yourself. Like that's the worst thing you can do. So actually being brave and saying out loud, I don't want to have them. Great.
Say it loud and proud.
Yeah. There's enough children that, you know, struggle in life. So.
And the thing is, they know when they're not wanted.
Yeah.
They're not silly. They will feel it. And I wouldn't want any child to feel like that.
No, absolutely.
And I know ours don't, so.
No.
They are funny creatures. We were discussing this last night.
Yeah, they were messing around and like playfully bickering. And it was funny. Yeah. They do. They do make me laugh when they... It is all playful. There's no, you know, they're laughing as they're doing it, but kind of like winding each other up a bit.
Oh, yeah.
But it is all in jest. Like they're both laughing at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And just things like that just always make me laugh with the two of them.
Definitely. But if I had all the money in the world, I would love to just give them separate rooms far from each other. Not because they
are. Oh, they just need their own space. That's the thing. Unfortunately, we're not in a position that we can do that for them, which is, you know, the one big thing we would like to change, but it's just not feasible.
Yeah, speaking of aims.
Yeah.
Aim
for a bigger house.
Don't know how that'll happen, but you know.
No.
One can dream.
One can. But yeah.
And I would rather a big house than more children.
Mm, definitely.
Yeah. That for me, that would be like a life goal at this point. A new mm-hmm. place.
Yeah.
A bigger, not just a new place, but a bigger place.
Yeah.
There's so much I would like to do with it.
Mm.
Kit it out the way I want. Oh.
Yeah.
You can decorate how you like.
So.
Yes.
Are we moving on?
Yes.
Strange news. Strange Give it story. To us. I've got quite a festive one. I know we're done with Christmas, but this is like the sort of what you do when you're done with Christmas story.
Uh-huh.
So Christmas trees in the UK are being used as natural sea defences. Oh, so cool. This is on the coast of Lancashire. And they basically, people donate their used Christmas trees and volunteers then bury them about halfway in rows along the coast, all the way along the coast. And then it creates this natural sea defense called, it's a technique called dune thatching. And in the wind, that sort of blows the sand, it captures it in the trees. And then it sort of over time builds up to make these dunes, which then protects against erosion and flooding, and it creates habitats and all kinds of things.
That's so cool.
It's so cool, right? I've never heard of this before, but it came up and I just thought that was absolutely incredible. And obviously it's much more sustainable because then the trees are not going into landfill. Or actually, on another note, that's kind of the end of that story. I just thought it was really cool. But the idea of trees going to landfill, my parents actually donate they pay to have it collected and donated, but they donate it to the local farm. There's a city farm near them that goes around, takes a very small donation, collects the trees, takes them back, and then feeds them to the goats. So again, it's being recycled, and it's just, they've done it for the last few years now, and it's just the best use, I think, of Christmas trees. Yeah, using them to either feed nature or give back to nature in whatever way.
Which is a point. In our big house, when we eventually do have one,
yeah,
the smell of a real tree will be great.
We will have a real
tree. We have a plastic one, man.
We do have a plastic one. But I love that plastic one because it's been with us since before you and I are together.
Yeah.
So I would save that and it would be like the bedroom tree or the hallway tree. And then we would have our incredibly big one. Yeah, we would be a multiple tree household. And then we could donate our tree to the goats.
To the goats, yeah.
Because we don't live anywhere near Lancashire.
So you had that tree before we got together?
Yeah. When I moved out.
Wow.
So before you and I got together, so that was 2007.
Yeah.
When I moved out myself, we bought that tree from IKEA. And it's still as great as it was then.
You hadn't even had a Christmas alone.
No. But I had a little tree in my house, my flat. And then the next Christmas, I was with you. So
you brought it.
It came too. And then, yeah, it's been with us ever since.
That's proper tree planning.
Mm-hmm.
Great.
Yeah.
Wow. And as the kids have gotten older, they can reach higher and higher up the tree.
Yeah. I think Alice is now taller than the tree, or very nearly.
Yeah.
She can reach it anyway. And Jake is taller than the tree.
I should hope so.
Yeah.
He's a mammoth right now. You stand next to me and
he's officially,
he dwarfs me.
5'11" because we measured the kids on the weekend. But with his hair,
like
his very, very tall hair, yeah, he's definitely like 6.5 feet, I reckon. Yeah. That is some impressive hair.
That boy in his hair, honestly. It's got a mind of its own, I swear.
It does.
Swear to the hair.
Yeah.
Well, there you go. That's us for another week. Thank you for listening. And again, Happy New Year. Welcome to 2026. And we hope it's a really, really good one for you, of course. We will be here to keep you going throughout the year, hopefully. Or going well. Because we don't know when to stop. So stay tuned and stay commenting. And thanks for listening in 2025, if you have. And 2024, if you did that as well, because some of you will have. It's been great to have you along, and it'll be great to continue to have you along. So, without further ado,
bye.